Welcome to the second installment of the VCS Alumni Podcast. This is the podcast where we catch up with alumni and provide an update of where are they now and what are they doing. I'm your host, Bob Dresty, and I was a 1980 graduate of Victor. It's been a bit of a hiatus since our last podcast with Norma Wisen due to the fact that my wife Lisa and I have been in the process of building a house and moving, but hopefully we're back on track, get these out in a little bit more normal fashion, regular fashion here. For our second episode of the podcast, we're excited to welcome Tom Turner. Tom is a 1990 graduate of Victor. How are you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing well, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
I'm glad that you accepted to do this. Like I said, it's been a while since we've been back and forth a lot of times due to scheduling and things like that, but here we are today. Excited to do this. Today's podcast is not so much of a where are they, what are they doing now type thing, but it's more of a life story of you, Tom, because you are a special person, and I think a lot of the people at Victor, alumni, residents, everybody can be proud of your story. First of all, I think the Turner name in Victor is a very recognizable name. Everybody knows the Turners, you know what I mean? They sure know a Turner, and I think you'd have to be living in a cave not to know about Turner Corvettes on Main Street. So, you know, the other thing that I want to, you know, touch on starting out here is the fact that, you know, you were born with a birth defect, spina bifida. Mm-hmm. You've never let that define who you are or limit you. Can you talk just a little bit about, you know, the early, you know, growing up in Victor, you know, your parents, specifically your parents and the community and growing up at Victor?
Sure.
When you were born?
Yeah. Born on September 10th, 1970. And with spina bifida, which is a neural defect where the spinal column fails to form properly, resulting in varying degrees of disability. I'm a thoracic 10 vertebrae,
okay,
and I'm paralyzed from the waist down. And when I was born, the Victor community just embraced my family, embraced me, couldn't do enough for us. Neighbors were always popping in to help out if my parents needed a babysitter, whatever, bring a dish of food.
Yep, sure.
And couldn't do enough.
Yep.
And
you started school at Victor, right?
I didn't.
Okay.
I started at Free Will Elementary.
Oh, I know right where that is. That's out near Wayne.
Wayne,
right?
Central.
Yeah.
Yep. Wayne Central. And I went to Free Will until the sixth grade.
Okay.
Or the seventh grade. Seventh grade, I apologize. Only because at that time, this is by no means a criticism of Victor, but they weren't exactly set up for special needs students. And my mom, God bless her, she went to a gentleman by the name of Paul Wyan, who I don't know if he was the superintendent at the time or what his
right
title was, but anyway, she asked him, you know, I have a child with special needs, and we'd like to educate him at the Victor school system, and how do we go about it? And he was very helpful in making sure that, you know, is there a ramp there?
Yep.
Is there an accessible bathroom here? Is there stairs, that type of thing. And through their efforts, they were able to make the district accessible. They bought an accessible school bus with a ramp.
Yep.
And
did you feel like you were one of the first people that blazed a lot of that trail for Victor?
I was one of them. I can think of two other people, Skipper Brake,
mm-hmm,
and Sherry Tassone,
yep,
who were my predecessors there. And other than that, I consider myself somewhat of a trailblazer.
Yeah, sure.
For that reason.
And your parents were, obviously your mother, Donna, and Bill,
yep,
your father,
yep,
and your sister, right?
Yeah, Laura.
Laura.
Yep.
We're all very supportive of
sure
of you, you know, attending Victor and being there for you.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about, you know, just, you know, some of the things, your memories from going to Victor. Who were some of the, maybe the influential teachers that you had and things like that?
I can think of probably thousands of influential teachers, but Vince Iacobellis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember him.
Not really.
He was a special ed teacher. I'm math deficit, math and science. I have a lot of trouble with math and science and numbers and that type of thing, and needed some extra help in that regard. So he was very helpful. Rosemary Hunt was another person.
Dale's mother, yeah.
Yeah, Dale's mom, yep. Yep. And those are two people in my junior high, during my junior high experience, that were more than helpful with, you know, just giving me that extra kick in the butt and extra hand and whatnot. So, and in high school, a lady by the name of Pat Coppertino.
Okay.
She was also in special ed resource room. And Michelle Peta was another one of her counterparts. And they, you know, they were the ones that would give you the, come on, Tom, you're slipping here.
Right, right.
So.
They provide a little motivation.
Yeah, a little motivation. Yep, kind of a verbal kick in the ass. Pardon
me.
I
think we all need that every once in a while.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, yeah. So those are some of the people that pushed me along.
Right. Yep.
To get where I needed to go.
After graduating from Victor, you then went to
Finger Lakes Community College.
Okay. What degree did you?
I got Associate's Arts and Science with the concentration in communications, broadcast communications. Always wanted to be on the radio. Brother Weeze, so I'm.
Yeah, I've heard you're really good friends with Brother
Weeze. Pleased to call one of my dearest friends. I've always looked up to him, and I don't know if you ever remember Barsky.
Not really, no.
Barsky was on FM 99. I don't know if you're a long-time resident of the Rochester area, but FM 99 back in the 70s and 80s. There was this guy called the Good Barsky, and he had a morning show and on FM 99, and he was one of the ones that I always looked up to.
Right, yeah.
Growing up, and I always listened to his show and tried to emulate him and whatnot. So.
Sure. Maybe you should be doing this podcast.
Well,
no, I'm just saying.
You're doing a good job. No. You're doing a great job.
So you got your degree from in broadcast journalism from FLCC, which is a great school. My sister went there.
Yeah, they're great.
A lot of people from Victor either go there or teach there too. There's some Victor alumni that are teachers there. What did you do right out of college?
Well, I'm very fortunate. I worked for my dad's business. He said, "Why don't you? You know, we want to keep the business in the family.
Yep.
Why don't you use your talents to do a lot of my PR marketing?" I did some voiceover work for, we did a couple of commercials for WACK.
Yep.
Which does track talk.
Oh yeah.
And Chuck Bardown, Lori. I did all of their commercials, all the commercial spots for the business, and you know, did our voice machine and that type of thing. And then I got into, as eBay came about.
Right.
I got into that, and I did all of our e-commerce work.
Right. What percentage of that business was, I mean, did it start getting to be more and more e-commerce where people were buying them all over?
Yeah, yeah. We were probably selling cars to people all over the world, over the continental United States, Europe, Kuwait.
Wow.
Sold a car to a guy in Kuwait.
I can remember I was on a business trip once down in Houston, and there was a guy there from Florida. And he asked me where I was from. I said, you know, Rochester, New York. He's like, "Are you near that Corvette dealership up there? Because I've been looking." So, you know, definitely, you know, people everywhere.
Yeah.
Not just people in Victor. Approximately how many cars a year would go through there? How many Corvettes?
Oh, gosh. It was just, it's hard to put a number on it. Just because things were going at such a fever pitch all the time. It's just so hard to put a number on it.
Yeah, I think that stretch of town right there is probably the number one spot for accidents, as people were looking over at a 64 or something and just rear-ended the person in front of them.
Saw my first airbag work in front of our shop.
Really?
Yeah, fascinating. The person didn't get hurt, thankfully.
Yeah.
So
you went right out of college. You went to work for...
Went to work for my dad.
Yep.
And I worked for him until his untimely passing in 2013. Mm-hmm. And, then we sold the business. And now I'm changed gears again. And I'm working for a company called Glickman Digital Media.
Okay.
And they're a full-service media group. They do a lot of electronic media, video, digital.
It has to do with
motivational speaking. Yep, motivational. Growing. Our big mantra is growing your life. How to grow your life.
Yep.
And we intersect a lot of motivational speakers. Video content, whatever viral content we can find on the internet.
Sure.
That alludes to growing your life and improving yourself, self-improvement.
Yeah.
We publicize that. And
is some of it just, helping people stay motivated?
Yes. Yep.
I think that's a huge thing, because there's so many people out there that they have what it takes, but they don't have the motivation.
They don't have the motivation.
That one person that's, a lot of people have been fortunate to have somebody in their life that's motivating them and, pushing them forward, whereas there's a lot of people that don't have that.
No. And that's the niche we try and fulfill.
Yep.
Is if we can reach out to that one person through our efforts, we've done our job.
And they're based out of Rochester?
They're based, CJ is based out of California, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm the Rochester connection.
Okay.
Yeah. And we do everything remotely between one another. We have our little business meetings and what do you think about this? And
I think everybody does everything remotely now.
Remotely, yeah. Yeah. I'll record some content and on my phone.
Yep.
But I'm thinking about getting a setup that like you've got, cuz I'm really impressed. And I'll just email it to him. And he'll put it on the website.
Okay, yeah.
And you can hear my raspy voice on his website.
That sounds good. Yeah. You got a broadcasting voice.
Yeah.
Where else did you work? Did you talent tease?
No, I pretty much stay with my dad until the business was sold. And right now I joke with everybody. I worked for my father since I was an embryo, and so now I'm onto this new venture, and I'm having a blast.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. What about What about your hobbies? What?
Oh gosh, hobbies. Smoking occasional cigar.
Uh-huh.
I'm into the cigar arts. Love to go to concerts. Love to. I'm a music lover of all kinds. I don't dislike anything. Some things are better than others.
Yep.
But I don't dislike anything.
What's your favorite kind of music, though? I mean, if you had to, put something on, what is it?
I'm all over the map, Bob. I love everything. I like everything from Guns N' Roses.
Yep.
I'm listening to a new band now, and the name escapes me, but they're kind of a soul R&B
right.
fusion type of band. and Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh yeah,
I'm a big fan of their, big fan of theirs. Tedeschi Trucks.
Sure.
Yeah, I've seen them probably 3 or 4 times. I actually got to talk to Susan on the radio.
Okay.
When she was at CMAC.
Yeah.
And that was a trip. I'm just an old soul when it comes to.
Right.
I like hippie music. Grateful Dead.
Oh. Now we're on the right page here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm actually in a band. We play like a lot of.
Good for you.
Avant-garde, I would say. Okay. Like bands like Dawn of the Buffalo.
Yep.
Band of Heathens.
Sure.
We play a few of their songs.
Yeah.
Driftwood, all these kind of like bands that maybe a lot of people haven't heard of, but it's still great
music. That's why I like music. I joke, I'm a music nerd. I like music nobody's ever heard of.
Exactly.
Tell you a little story. I don't know if you've ever heard of the band Mo.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chuck Garvey.
Plane Crash, right? That one of the songs? Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up with him.
Really?
Yep. His family, tell you an even shorter story. My family had a camp in the Adirondacks and on Limekiln Lake.
Oh, and where the Hurlbutts were.
Where the Hurlbutts, you know the Hurlbutts.
I actually, there's another story here, but keep going.
His family had this little pizza shop bakery called the Limekiln Chalet.
Okay.
And it was up the road. And we'd always used to get our allowance, and we would go up there and we'd buy things that we probably shouldn't have, pizza,
right.
donuts, that type of thing. And I would always hang out up there and spend time with Charlie, and he always was playing guitar.
Right.
Excuse me. And I just knew he was just one of these people that you knew would make it.
How old was he at the time?
He was probably 10. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
Well, his mom and dad were music teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the gift. He had the gift already.
Oh yeah.
So
it's one of my favorite bands. Fish, Mo, Grateful Dead.
Yeah, Fish, oh, yeah. Grateful Dead, Grateful Dead.
So I'll tell you a quick story about my Limekiln. We used to go up there and stay up there at the Hurlbutts in the winter and ski at Macaulay Mountain. And one year, it had to be 20-some below zero. And I just remember I went out to start my dad's car, and it was, you know how they turn over at 20 below. It's just barely moving.
Right.
I'm like, oh, crap, how am I going to get this thing going? And Mr. Hurlbutt said, you got to go down to Turner's down the road. They'll figure it out for you, right? And I think it was maybe Steve Moodler was there.
Yeah. Probably.
Steve's like, just take the plugs out, put them on your wood stove for a while, and it worked. It worked.
Good old Gooby.
The Goobs, yeah.
Call him MacGyver.
he got me going. So, but yeah. I know exactly where that was.
Yep.
How about other hobbies? I know you're into dirt racing, and just explain how you got involved in that and your family's involvement in that.
Well, my father and a guy by the name of Tom Ewings. You know Tom.
Big time, yes.
Okay, yep. They got Alan Johnson his start.
Mm-hmm. That was the first
person
that Alan drove for.
Yeah, he wasn't even old enough to drive.
Yep.
They had to vouch for him. And a gentleman by the name of Frank Reese, who just recently left us.
The man.
I'm
friends with Frank.
Wow. Wow, we have quite a
It's kind of here.
It's very weird.
When I was getting ready for this interview, I said, "I know Tom, but I don't." But he's going to know everybody that I know.
Yeah,
I obviously went to school with Scott,
Lori,
but Frank and I, because I was hooked up with Charlie all the time. Frank would always be over there, and I knew Frank from before. I mean, the Ransomville when he was a starter and stuff like that.
Yep.
But so your dad and your uncle,
Al.
Yeah,
yep, Uncle Alan. Yep. He was instrumental in it, and they were Alan's pit crew, for lack of the better. Bob Doctor.
Yep, I remember. Rick was in my grade.
Rick. Yep. They were all in Alan's pit crew, and a couple other people that name escapes me, but
I just remember the years of the Ewing Hawkins race.
Ewing Hawkins, yep. Mark Hockey.
Like, yep.
Hockey, we used to call it.
It was like, you know, a community thing over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
At Tom and Kim's. I mean, half the town would be over there on a Tuesday night or something. Yeah. And then, you know, Victor, has a lot of people that were involved in racing, not only as, like, you know, obviously people like your uncle and your father and mother and people that supported the sport from a sponsorship level, but, you know, drivers too.
Right.
You know, just Mark Hawkins drove.
Mark Hawkins.
Sam Rotunda.
Sam Rotunda. Sammy Jr.
And T. Guinan.
Yep.
Jim Harloff. Yep. Actually, I raced sprint cars in Jim Harloff.
Beaver Bauer.
Yeah, there's a big one right there. I mean, yep. He drove for Tom for a while.
Yep.
Do you still get out to the races a lot? Or
I haven't been out in a couple of years just because of this shoulder mishap. That's kind of sidelined me. But one of the last times I was out there is when they dedicated the VIP tower to my dad.
Yeah,
which was, wow, what a moment.
Yeah. Canandaigua does it right. I mean, you know, I think Tom Ewing was just inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Paul Coles. I just want to show you. I'm pulling up something here. I'm going to show you something, see if you can remember. It's going to be kind of hard to see, but I don't know if you remember that night.
Oh, God, yeah.
That is a huge picture up on the wall.
Oh, God.
At Charlie's shop.
Yep. I remember like it was yesterday. Wow.
I look at that. Corey's like pretty small there.
Yeah.
So, Corey, you know, it was a long time ago.
Corey was probably 12.
Probably about, yeah.
Yeah, yep. 11 or 12.
Yep.
Wow. Yay, memories.
Favorite driver? Who's your favorite driver? Just not that you have a favorite type.
The Johnson family, Charlie when he raced, Dale Paziaglo.
Mm-hmm.
We like all those people.
Yep.
You know, I hate to just single out one person. Yeah. All those folks.
Actually, I mentioned we moved
the Bodines
to is right near where the Johnsons grew up.
Okay.
In Middlesex.
No, so, okay. All right.
They live on they grew up on a very steep hill out there. I can't even imagine bringing a race trailer up and down that thing, but it's straight up.
They do it. Yeah, they do it.
Talk a little bit about your advocacy for spina bifida. I know that you've been involved in a lot of organizations and things like that.
Well, it all started with my mom. She was one of the founding members of the Greater Rochester Spina Bifida Association, which is called parent group, if you will, group of parents with kids with spina bifida, and she was a member there for we were a lifelong member anyway, but she was on the board for a number of years, and then as I got older, I expressed an interest in being a part of it, and I served on the board for 3 years, I think.
Okay.
And then I became a part of the, it was called the Youth Adult Alliance, which was folks 13 to my age, all the way up to adults.
Yep.
And we would do advocacy. We'd have social events, that type of thing. And I've also been involved with the Center for Disability Rights,
mm-hmm.
which is a watchdog organization there. I call them the disability police.
What do they do there? Are they like making sure that there's accessibility?
Accessibility. What's the word I'm looking for? If a person applies for a job, who's discrimination against people with disabilities, that type of thing. So it's a great organization, and anybody that if there's ever a need or for information, or you're having a problem with discrimination.
Sure.
They're the folks that you need to reach out to.
Yeah.
So.
How about people, even outside of Victor, that were influential in your life? Anyone come to mind, or you know, special person that?
Gosh, there's so many. For one, my pediatrician, Rufus Bynum, Dr. Rufus Bynum, is no longer with us, unfortunately, but he basically saved my life.
Yep.
And I was one of his first special cases, if you will. And
was he local?
He was out of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a little practice out of picture. Out of Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And it was in a house. And my mother consulted him, and he basically told her, okay, here's what you need to do, and you're going to have to listen to me.
Right.
And you're going to have to follow what I tell you to a T. And my mother, bless her heart, listened to every word, yep. And here we are today.
Yeah.
52 years later.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And I wasn't supposed to live through the night.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's like, it is. Yeah, they told my parents to go home.
Wow.
They said he's not going to live through the night. Don't get attached to him. And this was at Thompson Hospital. Nothing against Thompson Hospital.
No, I know what you're saying, though.
For,
yeah.
19, you know, we're talking September of 1970.
Right.
They're like, what do we do with this kid? So my mother made some phone calls, and they threw me in an ambulance, and they sent me to Strong.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Bynum got a hold of a gentleman by the name of Dr. Thomas Rodenhouse, who was a neurosurgeon, and he put a, that's called a ventricular peritoneal shunt,
okay,
in my head, and because I was hydrocephalic. I still am hydrocephalic. I don't know if you know what.
Not sure what that is.
Hydrocephalus is water on the brain.
Okay.
It's when the spinal column doesn't form properly, there's a accumulation of spinal fluid in the brain,
uh-huh.
And it causes brain damage, headaches, seizures, and this shunt acts like a sump pump.
Right.
And drains the fluid from the ventricles in my brain to my abdomen.
Okay.
And
so they did that right.
They did that right within the. I think I was an hour old.
Wow.
And Dr. Rodenhouse is still my doctor today. He's getting ready to retire, but
right.
He just put a new one in 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. So it lasted me. What? Almost 40 years. So that was pretty amazing. And Dr. William Hagee, who was an orthopedic surgeon, closed the lesion in my back.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think I was a couple hours old. So everybody just kind of converged on
me. Came together, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, wow.
Here I am.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
What about all these? Tell me about the changes you've seen in Victor over the years.
Oh my God!
I mean, in term, there's been a lot of changes.
A lot of changes: housing developments, businesses, commerce is just exploding.
It's hard to even get through Victor.
It's hard. Yeah, it's.
I don't even go down 96 through Main Street anymore.
Oh, it's still. You know, from 7 in the morning till 10 o'clock in the morning, it's bumper to bumper. Then it slows down a little bit, and then there's a little bit of a lull.
Right.
And then from 11:30 to 1:30 is lunch hour, so it goes back again. And then it slows down again. And then from 5:30 to 7:30, it's rush hour.
Yeah, I've been in a jam there for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
At certain times. You know, wrapping up, what advice would you give to kids going through Victor right now? some people are still in school, you know, what advice would you give them?
Just be tenacious in whatever it is you do. Find something you like or love, and whether it's athletics or academics or both, and just be tenacious about it. And I would also suggest seek out internships wherever you can, any kind of work study program that you can find, shadowing,
sure,
that type of thing, because then you have an advantage. I feel anyway.
I totally agree. If you can shadow somebody and follow them around, and this is what, you know, if you pursue this is what you're going to do every day. And it's like, don't be shy. Just walk up to somebody that you think you want to be
Exactly.
And just ask them.
How'd you do it?
Right.
And how can I do it too?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that pretty much concludes our interview with Tom Turner. Definitely an inspiring story. I think everyone in Victor, not only alumni, but everyone in Victor, I'm proud of you. Thank you, Tom.
I appreciate it, Bob. Thanks for your time.